Bonjour, and welcome to the Amateur Detective Club. This club is exactly how it sounds. A bunch of amateurs talking about their favorite mysteries. So if you encounter a real mystery or a murder, contact the proper authorities. Do not come to us. We do not know what we are doing. But enjoy the program. Allons-y. Let us begin.
I now call this meeting of the Amateur Detective Club to order
my name, you know it, Tristan Miller, the Saucy Sleuth.
And I'm Melissa Maley, the Spy.
Now, normally, this is where we would put the Audible ad, and they're reconfiguring some stuff, so we don't have a vanity URL anymore, so we'll get that to you later. Also, this is normally where Tyler would introduce himself. Tyler is on sabbatical. He's doing some other stuff. And so we are going to cover only murders in the building without him. And then he'll be back when he wants to be back. And we'll be happy to have him.
Yes, indeed. So this is going to be a weird energy we're bringing in without Tyler reining us in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's that weird energy.
Music.
Yeah. So, we generally do a bit of a catch up. I'm parting the kimono for a minute.
Ugh.
We already
peeking
recorded,
behind the curtain, I think, is okay to say.
Looking a little reach around.
Sure.
No, ew. sorry. Ain't I a stinker? So we already recorded like 8 minutes and then there was an audio difficulty. So we've already caught up. We started talking about how social media works and I wanted to dissipate into the ether.
because we're recording this in the period of time where Facebook and Instagram have disappeared off the face of the planet.
Yeah, which I'm considering just deleting the apps from my phone and just going, well, that was that.
I don't miss Facebook that much.
Mm-hmm. The gram, though.
I do. I miss the gram. That's where all my running friends live.
That's fair.
So I met some deer on my run yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And it was an absolutely wild experience because I kept thinking that they were going to run away from me.
Oh,
absolutely
no.
Not.
No, deer are stupid.
I stopped running so they wouldn't be scared. And I said hello to them in English. And they didn't respond, but they did
because
look
they only spoke Italian.
That's right. They did look at me as if to say, hello. I see that you are here. And then they kept walking towards me. At first it was one deer, then two, then three deer. And they kept walking towards me. I thought they were going to let me touch them, but they ran away because there was another couple with their dog that started approaching.
Smart.
Yeah. I thought they were going to start eating out of my hands like I was Snow White or something.
I mean, deer are weird. Sometimes they're very skittish and sometimes they're fine. I saw recently a video of a guy like... who pulled over to physically lift a deer over the shoulder of the highway that he was parked on because he didn't want it to run into the middle of the freeway.
Yeah.
But the deer did not want to, it just could not comprehend to not go that way. They're very weird animals.
They are. Out here in the country, it's, I have to, when I'm not driving, obviously, I need to keep my eyes off of the road. Because there's a lot of accidents that happen with animals, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know. Free meal. So, yeah. Gross. It was gross, the thing I said. But yeah, I also want to say another reason the energy is weird in the virtual room is you're in Pennsylvania, number one. So we're doing this through Zoom. Two, we haven't recorded in over a month because I've been on tour, which was really fun. And if you didn't go and see me, shame on you, but I'm going to be around other places. So.
Yes, truly. I did go see Tristan's show, and it's wonderful.
I think so. I think it went rather well.
It did. It absolutely did. But yes, Tyler and I were also in a play. We were in the same play. We were in the whimsical world of Sherlock Holmes.
It was very cute. I went to go see it the last day. It was very cute, very fun. My review of it is no mystery. So 0.5 mustaches out of a possible 5, because there wasn't a mystery. But you and Tyler were very good, and I enjoyed seeing you perform, as I always do. But there, it wasn't a mystery, which kind of honestly surprised me.
Yeah, it was more about character and Sherlock Holmes's character in particular. Yeah. But yeah, it was a blast to work on. And it was a really good cast. It was just such a special group of people. So
my cast for my show, what F dick. What a terrible person I had to work with.
Oh, that Tristan Miller.
Yeah. I will say, though, that the people that opened for me, Cassidy Kulmenenik, oh, man, I really butchered her last name, and Kendra Dawsey, both of them were really, really funny, and shout out to them, because they're, look them up online, they're phenomenal.
And I didn't get to see them because I was in New York.
You weren't in Chicago and Hartford.
Right. Yeah, in Astoria, Tristan just... did it themselves.
I did, because I had a limited amount of time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have upcoming dates as well. I'm going to Baltimore and to Miami. And then also I'm performing it again sometime in New York at the Tiny Cupboard. I'm trying to find a date for that works for everybody. But yeah, so that's kind of where we've been. And some kind of changes. And I know if you listen to the show primarily for the Poirot, we are going to get back to it. But Melissa and I both agreed it felt strange doing it without Tyler.
Yeah.
So if we can do it with Tyler, we're going to.
And we also did want to get to Only Murders in the Building because it's pretty hot right now.
It's also very good.
It is
turns
good.
Out.
Yeah.
Turns out it's pretty good.
Spoiler, we like it. I like it. I like it. Tristan can speak for themselves.
Thank you. But Only Murders in the Building is a 2021 Hulu original TV series starring
Brand
Steve Martin.
Brand
new. I know a couple people that worked on it. Which is another reason I'm going to say I have a chip on my shoulder, because this is the exact sort of thing I should have been in, and I wasn't, and I'm mad.
I mean.
It stars Marty Short, Steve Martin, and Selena Gomez, and they're all very good. And
they really are.
This is, I think, the first time I've seen Selena Gomez in anything. And she's really
good. Yeah,
me too.
Yeah,
and
she's great.
I love her voice. Her speaking voice is so cute.
She comes on screen at the beginning, and I'm like, do I want to be you, or do I have a crush on you?
That is also how I felt. I feel that way about everyone in the cast. I'm like, I want all of these outfits.
Oh my gosh.
Because it's set
Selena Gomez's wardrobe is perfect.
Yeah. It's set in New York during around Christmas time, I think. It's in the winter. And
the
so it's all, you know, coats and hats and sweaters, and it's beautiful. But
the best
pilot
stuff.
Episode, which is called True Crime, opens up with police running into an apartment building. And then Marty Short and Steve Martin run. I will never learn their names. Character names.
Oliver and Charles.
Marty Short and Steve Martin are running down the steps. And Marty's going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then they're trying to find someone. They open the door. And Selena Gomez is there. Her shirt's bloodied, and there's a corpse, and she goes, that's not what it looks like. And then it cuts.
Yep.
To 2 months earlier, and there's some voiceover work, and we're following Steve Martin, who's talking about New York and how everyone is, you know, there's no people think that it's a crime-ridden town when you can't get away with anything because there's so many people.
Right.
And then he's stopped by a couple on the street because it turns out that Steve Martin in this universe has played a Columbo-esque character named Brazos.
Yes.
And they recognize him and they ask him for a picture. But this show is a comedy.
Oh, yeah.
The show is a comedy. And this first bit we get is so funny to me. Because this guy says, oh, my dad was a huge fan. And he's like, oh, that's so nice. Yeah, we used to watch you all, you know, every day. Oh, that's so nice. He has ALS now. He's yeah. in hospice and he just won't let go. And it's just so uncomfortable and sad and hilarious all at the same time.
Yeah. It's
supremely well acted.
Oh, it's really well done. And it's, yeah, it's very uncomfortable. Then we cut to Selena Gomez, mm-hmm. who is a character named Mabel. And she is walking around in her amazing yellow hat and furry coat and glasses, you know, getting hit on by men on the street and ignoring them. And like we all do in New York City, talking about how she always kind of has plans about, you know, stabbing people with a knitting needle in case they try to attack her. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's a reoccurring fantasy.
Yeah.
And if she can't fall asleep, she thinks of this fantasy of someone trying to come in to assault her in some way and her kicking him in the nuts and stabbing him in the neck, in the jugular with a knitting needle, which solid plan.
Yeah. I often think about what I would do if someone attacked me on the street.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah. Mostly having to do with keys.
I am. This might be a bit dark. I got the crap kicked out of me enough as a kid where I know how to block a punch and get someone into like a half Nelson.
Oh, that's smart. Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully, you know, you got to be like water, as Bruce Lee says. And then we cut to our final character of the main three amigas, Marty Short.
Yes.
Steve Martin and Marty Short were in the movie Three Amigos. Marty Short is a very eccentric theater director. And he's talking about how he saw a dance piece on the interweb set to Claire de Lune, where a guy's trying to get up the stairs and he falls off and then he keeps bouncing back and he keeps trying to go up the stairs. And he's like, isn't that all of us? And he almost gets hit by a car.
Yeah.
So there's this beautiful juxtaposition between, oh, this beautiful dance piece and then him almost getting struck by the car. And that's kind of who he is as a person.
Yeah.
So we get this nice intro to our three leads.
Yes. And then we get the intro to the building.
Yes.
The title character. The building.
The titular building.
Yes. The Arconia.
We get an introduction to Ursula, who is the person that takes care of the packages, because Marty Short is picking up a bunch of packages. And then Steve walks past him, and they get into the elevator together, despite Steve trying to shut the elevator door.
Yeah.
They clearly know each other, and they clearly don't like each other.
They sort of know each other. It seems like they know each other from the building, as opposed, like, they don't really, really know each other.
Well, they also know what each other does, because mm-hmm. Marty Short says, oh, are you shooting something today? And he goes, what? No. He's like, oh, I thought you're wearing makeup. And he goes, I'm not. And he goes, sure, neither am I.
Yeah.
So they clearly all know what each other does. They know of each other.
Yes. Then Selena Gomez gets in the elevator and Oliver, Martin Short, tries to talk to Mabel about her headphones and her beats. Do you like your Beats? I had a yellow pair, but then I left them on the subway.
Yeah.
You know.
And then a man enters.
Yes.
And he's on the telephone. And he said, where's my package? Well, mm-hmm. How soon can you get it?
Yeah.
I need it. Yeah, Kono with a K. And then he gets miffed and then he leaves to his apartment.
Yes. And he is carrying a trash bag.
Yeah.
On the elevator. Mm-hmm. And that's the entire episode, if you can believe it. No.
Yeah, that's the cold open, right? Because, or is the cold open in between, or is the title sequence, which is gorgeous, between this or between the intro?
It's between the intros and this moment.
Okay, cool. But it's a really nice, like, the stylized, almost puppet theater.
Yeah. Yeah. Very nice.
Anyway.
But yes, so everyone gets out of the elevator and we see each of our main characters go into their apartments, sit down. You get a pretty good idea for who is who.
Oh, there's a beautiful moment with Steve Martin, where he has groceries and he puts all of the things lined up. He has, peppers and there is three of each color, like yellow, orange, and red, and they're all lined up perfectly, and he's fastidious. And then you cut to Marty Short's, and there's a dog and a fireplace, and there's papers everywhere.
Yeah.
And then Selena's apartment is just barren, and it's just a bed.
Oh, yeah. Right, and there's, like, wallpaper half ripped from the wall, kind
of. Drop cloths on the ground.
Yeah. So you're getting a real picture for these people. And may I add
that the
dog, Oliver North's dog, is a bulldog named Winnie.
Now, is his name Oliver North?
Is it not North? It's Oliver. I forget.
It's Oliver, because it can't be Oliver
North. It's not Oliver North. What am I saying?
It can't be Oliver North. Fun fact, the Ollie from skateboarding fame is named after Oliver North, because someone made it.
Oh.
Like jumping through hoops or some malarkey. I don't remember. Anyway.
So, Oliver.
They're all running.
Okay, Oliver Putnam.
Putnam. They're all running to listen to a podcast.
Yes. All is not okay in Oklahoma.
Yes.
And.
Because you see, the initials for the state of Oklahoma is okay.
Yes, it's very clever.
You see.
Yes, so each of them is sitting down to listen to this podcast. And we get a little cut to the narrator of the podcast, played by Tina Fey.
Yes.
Who is talking about going into the woods, meeting someone with their dog who digs something up.
Mm-hmm.
And the dog comes up to her and presents it to her. And what is in the dog's mouth? There's a fire alarm in the building.
Yep.
And everyone has to go. Everyone has to evacuate. You know, everyone goes downstairs. And it sounds... Okay, so there is a restaurant that is in the building?
I believe it's across the street.
Okay.
But
because they all go to the same restaurant.
Yes. And one of my favorite things about the scene when the fire alarm goes off is, I can't remember who says it, that goes up to an officer and goes, is this real or not? And the doorman goes, like, and I'm like, that is exactly, because I remember being in the dorms in Brooklyn Heights and the fire alarm would go off and we would all just sit there going, what are we doing?
Yeah. I don't know if other places in the country take a fire alarm seriously, but no one in New York does.
Oh no, which is so messed up.
It is.
Because the likelihood, if there's a fire, that of it spreading to other buildings is so high, because we're all packed in, and so we should, but we're all like, whatever. If I smell smoke, I'll go.
Yeah, exactly. And there was actually one instance where there was a very bad fire in a building next to me.
Yeah, we not were next recording.
To. Oh my gosh, no. Okay, in two different apartments, I have had a building. One was like two buildings away from me. That was really bad when I was in Astoria, in the apartment where I live now. Mm-hmm. And one was when I lived in Harlem. There was a really bad fire, like even worse, like really bad fire, a block away. So yeah, I have a little bit more of a sensitivity at this point, but well, yeah,
that makes sense. Yeah. But they all go to the same restaurant, and Steve, what is his character's name?
Charles,
right. Cause his dad's a Charles too. He's a junior. Mm-hmm. Charles is sitting there at the last booth, and he has a map out of the area in Oklahoma that is he's listening to a podcast about. And what I think is beautiful as well is they all listen to the podcast differently.
Mm-hmm.
Oliver listens to it on his laptop. Mabel, obviously being the youngest, uses headphones like a polite person.
Mm-hmm.
And Charles has it up to his ear, his phone up to his ear.
Yeah.
It's just so, like, it's... I thought that the two older guys dealing with a younger person humor wasn't going to land with me, but it is done with such, like, sweetness towards old people. And Mabel likes Oliver and Charles, so it's okay. But Oliver dashes in with a pram that has his bulldog in it. And he's like, oh, you got the last booth. Do you mind if I join you? And Charles Lusky, he's like, yes, I mind very much. And then Oliver makes the connection. Oh, we're listening to the same podcast. And they go, what is in the dog's mouth?
Yeah. So, yeah, he finally does sit down. And then we have Mabel come in, and Mabel has what we assume is the same conversation with the host, and sees that there's, you know, nothing. And then Oliver spots her,
mm-hmm,
and waves her on over, and she's like, but, you know, there's no tables are left. So she walks over very nicely, and, you know, they introduce themselves officially. And then she sees that they're listening to the same podcast, and she says, what's in Bo's mouth?
Oh.
And they simultaneously say, her panties.
Yep. It's very funny and very good.
So then they sit down and have dinner and chat about this true crime podcast that they're all obsessed with.
Yes. And they also Oliver tries to get to know Mabel, who shuts him down.
Yeah.
But Oliver is gregarious and introduces himself and is like, you know, I'm a Broadway director, yada, yada, yada. And Mabel goes, I've seen you somewhere before, to Charles. And Charles goes, I'm Brazos. And she goes, that sounds familiar. Congrats. You know.
So they find out that there has been a death.
Yes.
Because there are sirens and policemen outside of the building.
Yes.
And it was on the 9th floor. Mm. So
apparent suicide.
Right. So they're like, okay, well, how can we find out what's going on?
Yeah.
And Charles says he can get us to the freight elevator. And Mabel's like, okay, but we should take it to 8 because there will be cops posted on 9.
Mm-hmm.
Very smart.
Very savvy.
Yeah. Absolutely genius. So they do. They all go up and they take a look. And this seems like, I can't imagine really how they do sneak this peek, but they do see the body.
Mm-hmm. And it is an apparent suicide. And if you are upset by that, you should know that now.
Yeah.
Yeah. If those of you who are listening.
Yes. So they get a glimpse of the person who has seemingly shot himself in the head. And it is Tim Kono, the man that they wrote.
Kono! I've been sitting on that one.
Great.
Tyler's not here. Someone's got to do the bad puns and be grumpy. So we have to take turns. So next episode.
It's all me.
Yeah.
Yes, they see Tim Kono is the deceased. And a policewoman comes up to them and is like, okay, what podcast are you all listening to?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, what do you mean? So they're a little confused about Tim being an imagined suicide, an apparent suicide, I should say, because he wanted to get his hands on a package so much that they're like, well, you know,
doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Why would he do this if he's waiting for something?
Yeah. But here's something as well that took me off guard.
Sure.
The police woman swears at them. This has cursing in it, which I was not expecting for whatever reason. And I literally gasped when they said the F word. And I was like, oh my
God. Yeah.
I don't know why.
That's so interesting. We're not on HBO, I suppose.
I guess. Like, I just assumed it was like an NBC style. Like, but yeah, so there's cursing in this one. I mean, it makes me excited to see what else they'll say and do.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It could be anything.
Ooh.
I don't think we'll get like full up close nudity like we do on HBO, though. Somehow.
You don't want to see Marty Short's Wing Wang?
No, I really don't want to see anyone's, to be honest.
I mean, I understand.
So Steve Martin, Charles Hayden...
February.
Something or other.
The third.
He has three names. Yes. Charles is the first one.
Charles Bronson Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
That's the one. So he makes this beautiful omelet. It looks perfect with his peppers. And then he throws it away.
Yep.
And as he's throwing it away, he looks at his garbage bag very thoughtfully. And then he comes down in the elevator where Mabel is standing right in front of the door, having had the same thought.
Mm-hmm.
Why was Tim carrying this garbage bag?
Which they say in unison.
Yeah. And then they meet. It's very funny because they meet Oliver and they're like, oh, did you have the same thought? And they said the garbage bag. And he's like, oh, okay, different thought.
Yep.
But like the thought is, why would he be carrying the garbage bag in the elevator? Because there's a trash chute on every floor.
Imagine having a trash chute. Ugh.
I've had trash chutes.
I had it when I was in the dorms as well. I was in the St. George Hotel for a year in Brooklyn Heights.
Oh.
It was real nice. It was nice because also my parents were paying for me to have food. So it was a nice time for old Tristan.
Yeah. So they're looking through the trash down in the trash room.
Looking through the trash can.
And Oliver is trying to get Charles to record some lines for a podcast because
yes.
Oliver has found a money-making opportunity in this situation.
Because yes. He is a huckster.
Well, he's also, as we will find out later, desperate.
For money. And also, money. He also keeps directing Charles because he, for whatever reason, thinks Charles is a bad actor.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Yeah. At one point in the restaurant, he thinks he's Scott Bakula, which is funny to me.
I took that as a dig from... I don't think he thinks he's Scott Bakula. I think he's trying to insult Charles.
But I love Scott Bakula.
By not knowing who he is.
Okay.
Yeah. Imagine someone comes up to you and goes, oh, you're from that thing. And you go, yes, I am. And you go, you're this person. Would that hurt your feelings if they thought you were somebody else?
I guess, but there's worse people you could be than Scott Bakula. I'm just saying.
That's fair. I have no context for Scott Bakula other than his name sounding like Dracula.
Scott Bakula of...
Scott Bakula Future?
Sort of. Quantum Leap.
So here's the thing. I've seen one clip from Quantum Leap. And it's unfortunate. It's where he finds out that he's in the body of a mentally disabled person. That is the only clip I've seen. And then Scott Bakula is also in a Star Trek that no one recommends. So I've never seen it.
Rich loves it. Rich loves Enterprise.
Interesting. That tracks about every part of Rich's personality, to be honest.
Yes. Scott, he's also in a NCIS, Scott Bakula?
Yeah, he's in one of those.
Quantum Leap is not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. There's a lot of problems with it in an of its time kind of way.
Yeah.
But it's also...
For example, the clip I mentioned.
I'm sure, yeah. However... I grew up watching it. I still find it highly enjoyable in a lot of ways. And I also watched it with my mom. But yeah, there's still value to it. But there are certainly things that do not come off well.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do about culture changing.
Yeah. And... ideally, would they have realized that this was a huge problem before they made as they were making the show? Yes, but that is not the case.
Yep.
So, here we are.
So, we're in the garbage room, and we're sorting through garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And Oliver wants to start a podcast, and the other two have kind of begrudgingly agreed. And Mabel finds, Mabel is not engaging with the other two. She finds a bag full of... notes, like suicide notes, which Kono did leave.
Yeah.
One. And there's also something else.
Mail.
Just a bunch
like
of mail.
His mail.
Okay. And so they're like, I guess that's that then, I guess.
Yeah. No podcast.
No podcast.
Back to Oklahoma, they say. So
yeah. Where the wind comes sweeping down the plains.
Right. So then we start making another omelet.
Yes.
And Charles has an audition today. And it's for a guy who looks like Brazos, who doesn't have any lines.
Yes.
And he's a little offended, a lot offended, that they want him to audition for this part, which... I mean, honestly, if you are famous for playing someone and they are trying to cast someone as you and they don't know if they want you or not, like, that would be rough.
Can I tell you? Happens a lot.
So Charles sees a woman named Bunny in the hallway. She's leaving her apartment. And then he gets in the elevator and after a brief interaction with her. And Bunny's not very pleasant. But then Mabel sees him coming off the elevator and he says, I swear I'm not always in here.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. And Mabel says to him, okay, so here's the thing. I was thinking about this. And a week ago, I heard Tim talking to Bunny about a package that he was supposed to get that she got by mistake.
Yes.
And it was an important package and he couldn't get this package. And so Mabel is wondering, is this still in Bunny's apartment and what is in this package?
Yes.
So she knows how to get into her apartment, into Bunny's apartment.
Right. So she originally, she overhears Bunny talking about it because she lives next door. to Bunny.
Oh, yes, yes,
through
yes.
the ventilation shaft. She overhears yeah. this. And so she brings Charles into her apartment, which is under construction.
Yes.
And at some point during the dinner, both he and Oliver were like, how are you able to afford to live at the Arconia? We got in when it was cheap in the 70s. Why are you here, basically? This answers mm-hmm. that question. Also, Mabel suggests that we crawl through the ventilation shaft. And Charles says, no, I'm Brazos. And she goes, what does that mean? And then basically, yeah. as a wrap gift, Charles received a set of Jimmy keys.
Oh, yeah.
In order to break in. So they go to Bunny's apartment and Jimmy the lock. During this time, we also spend some time with Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
And we realize his bills are past due by several months. He can no longer, he is living past his means, as they say. So he wraps up some presents and he goes and visits his son in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And uncomfortably asks for money.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. I don't think of Martin Short as a particularly good actor. When I think of him as a funny actor first, right?
Okay.
He's a really good actor. He's yeah. very good in this scene. He almost sheds a tear. It's really good stuff.
Yeah, it's hard to watch, too, mm-hmm. because it just makes me uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. It's a but deeply like, uncomfortable scene.
Right, in an appropriate way. Like, you know,
yeah.
Subject matter is difficult. And it's difficult to ask anyone for money. So.
Specifically so, yeah. when it's not like, hey, can I have $100? I forgot to blah, blah, blah. He's asking for like several thousand.
Yeah. And his son has clearly done this for him before
mm-hmm.
and is like, I can't do this again.
It's so uncomfortable. Ooh,
it hurts so much because his son clearly loves him. And
mm-hmm. And they also mention that Oliver's wife has the kids that weekend.
Right.
So is or whatever. I mean, I guess it's not has the kids, has his son's kids. They're out with Oliver's ex-wife. So that's yeah. also established. I'll save that for the review section. But then it's intercut with them jimmying open the lock.
Yes.
And
Charles gives this whole speech about his dad.
Yes.
And he talks about how much he was like his dad, but people liked his dad a lot, so it was meant to be a good thing, but his dad wasn't a great person.
Yeah. He says something really, which I really enjoyed the writing in this, of like, he's like, my dad made my mom's life miserable. He made her feel small.
Mm-hmm.
And so people meant it as a compliment. So, but I didn't take it as that because Mabel asks, why do you live alone?
Right.
And he goes, I figured I was like my dad so much. Maybe alone isn't so bad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, huh, it's a solid bit of writing.
Also, Mabel in this scene is wearing this is going to sound wrong, an orange jumpsuit, but like the best possible iteration of an orange jumpsuit.
I know, I saw this and I was like, who allowed this? It's too cute.
It's so cute.
It's so good. All the costuming in this, Marty Short's wearing like some overcoat with a scarf as well. And they put Steve in these beautiful pastel sweaters.
Yeah.
Everyone is dressed so well in this, but her in particular, and her hair is done up in she's gorgeous, this woman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if that's been stated ever before. I think I might be the first person to make this observation.
Yeah. First person ever.
Yeah.
No one has thus far noticed Selena Gomez's beauty.
Yeah. And after this monologue, Charles, you know, Mabel goes, is the door, can we get the door open? And he just opens it. It's like, it's been open for a while because he wanted to talk to her, which is very sweet. And they go in and he's like, okay, where would I put the package? Where would I put the package? Where would I put the package? and he's literally touching it because he's like put his hand on the table next to it.
Yeah, exactly. So they grab this package. This is so messed up that they're doing this. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. They're committing a federal crime.
Yeah.
That's the thing. They are committing a federal crime, which is weird to think about, but is the case. And that's intercut with Oliver walking out his son's house down a new deck and a new flight of stairs. And then it mimics the video he saw on the World Wide Web of him falling down and coming back up again. But
yeah, there's a little bit of magical realism in this. Mm-hmm.
Specifically in this episode.
Yeah, there's more later too. Oh, but it's pretty light magical realism. There's not a lot of it. It's just every once in a while something happens and you're like, I know this is not actually happening because it defies the laws of, you know, physics.
That's not magical realism, I guess, isn't what I would put. I would just say it's metaphor. Because it's psychological every time it happens.
It is,
falling down and coming back up is like, it's just using the language of cinema to explore an idea. It is beautifully done. But it's just interesting that that's where you come from.
Yeah. I guess I call it that because it is happening on the screen, but it's not happening in, like, it's not literally happening.
Yeah, it's not, what is it called? Diegetic. Yeah, it's not literally occurring. It is.
Right.
Yeah.
So I suppose it's a bit different from magical realism in things like, Pushing Daisies, because Pushing Daisies is, like, actually magical.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas this is using metaphor and, again, like, literally, I did a David Lynch impression because I knew it sounded pretentious, but, like, symbolism and the language of cinema to explain a psychological state everyone is feeling. And beautifully done. But as he's bouncing back up, he receives a text from Mabel and from Charles that the podcast is back on because they've discovered what?
A ring.
Yes, an engagement style ring.
Yeah.
And so Charles posits the question, who would kill themselves after trying to get this so hours before?
Yep.
Doesn't make sense.
Right.
And to mimic the bouncing back to Clair de Lune with Oliver, there's also a moment where Steve does it with his pan for making an omelet.
Yeah.
And Mabel does it with the ring.
Yes. So Mabel holds on to this ring. Yes. Mabel keeps bringing this ring back. And there's actually kind of a running bit that runs through the next episode that we'll talk about later. Where they're like, well, let me hang on to the ring. And Mabel's like, it's in my apartment. I'll give it to you later.
Yep.
And it's very like, okay, but why?
Yep.
Why do you want to keep hanging on to it? So that's interesting. Notable, if you will. But yes.
But it ends with Mabel doing research on her laptop. And we see a picture of her, because she's revealed previously that she had a gang of friends called the Hardy Boys.
Yes.
Because where they would play mysteries growing up. And it's a picture of those people, and one of them is Tim Kono.
Yep.
And then it goes to the credits.
It does. Briefly before that, there's one other thing I think that we should note.
Just one more thing.
Charles runs into a neighbor and he says, I've smelled the omelet that you've been cooking. And he's like, I'm so sorry. I'll put the vent on next time. And he's like, no, actually, I like it. It reminds me of Lucy. Have you talked to her? And Charles kind of grunts a little bit. Not really an answer. And he's like, oh, next time, say hello for me.
Mm-hmm.
So we wonder who Lucy is. And then that's the end of the episode.
Yes. So, what did you think of this episode, Melissa?
Ooh, how are we rating? Are we going out of 5 or 10?
I mean, I guess it's a 5 because it's a TV series.
Series, right. Oh, goodness. It's hard to rate in terms of mystery because we don't complete the mystery. This isn't like a Poirot or a Murder, She Wrote where we find out exactly what happened at the
end. It's not Serial.
Right. So with that in mind. So with that in mind, though, it is really a beautiful episode of television. Extremely engaging. Made me want to watch the next episode immediately, which I did. And I mean, gosh, it's so good. The attention to detail is really excellent. And it's very clever. It's well written. It's well acted. Design is beautiful. I don't know. It's hard not to give it a 5, but it's a setup episode, so I guess it's like a 4, 4.5 because it's a setup episode. I don't know. That's what I'm feeling right now.
Okay. Breaking our own rules, I give it a 6 out of 5 because the only pilot that I can think that's better, or as good, rather, is Mad Men. Oh. Where you spend that whole time with Don Draper. Have you seen the pilot episode of Mad Men, yes? Yeah, okay. You spend all that time with Don Draper, and then he goes home to his family, and you're like, what the hell?
Yeah, that's true.
A very similar moment. I was like, okay, this is strong, whatever. And then there's that moment with Mabel at the end, and I was like, ah, there it is. And immediately wanted to watch the next one to go, okay, now I'm really invested. The only thing I could say I didn't need, but I understand why they did, was the introductions with the voiceover. But that does come back later to be part of them recording the podcast.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, justifies it now when I'm, you know, talking about it, having seen more than one episode. I also did immediately watch like 4 more episodes in a row. Again, seeing Martin Short really do some like proper acting, quote unquote. Because like I know him from like SCTV and SNL and like Jiminy Glick, where he's just being ridiculous. Seeing him do some really subtle acting was a really refreshing thing. The show is incredibly funny and well written, and also all of the things that they notice that don't add up about Tim Kono, I also noticed.
Yeah.
So it's not as though. It's nice to have characters that are like observant, but not like Sherlock, where it's like, oh, I could never have noticed this.
Right.
Selena Gomez is really good. She's just a wonderful presence on screen, as is Steve. They give every character is equally balanced with a backstory that makes you empathetic towards them, and you understand where every single one of them is coming from by the end of the episode. It is a very, very well-written pilot episode.
It's great. It's great.
I was skeptical for some reason, even though despite like knowing I would like it, but I was skeptical for some reason. Once I heard there was a podcast element, I even told you this, I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of corny. But it works really well, and
it does,
and it does make me sad that I'm not in the show, but I also do know that it was shot over this past year, and if you recall, Melissa, things were difficult to shoot this past year.
Oh, why is that?
Yeah, they had a couple starts and stops, and there's a couple shots that I can tell are pickups in other episodes.
Okay.
But, oh no, it's actually in this episode. I believe when he's jimmying the lock and Selena is behind him, she's green screened in.
Oh, okay.
Because they were like, well, we can't.
We got to get Steve, but.
Yeah, because maybe this is speaking out of turn, but I know they had to start and stop and really work with some things.
Sure.
But it's also why I think it has a very small cast, which I think is really to its benefit as well.
It is. It's nice. And from what I understand, they're going to do more. Like, there's going to be a second season.
It's been renewed for a second season, which is great.
So maybe we will have a chance to be in it.
I will push very hard for that.
Oh my goodness. It's so lovely. It's also, here's another thing. When new technology comes up in media, it feels very awkward to me.
Yes.
Like, any song that talks about, I don't know, texting.
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh, gross. But so, yeah, I understand where your immediate repulsion with the podcast episode, element would come from, I think. But yeah, for me, that's it. Like, it's like, how are we going to shoehorn this new technology in it? Because it all that feels like really awkward to me. It's like how I still don't understand how people have made any movies and stuff about 9/11 also. And I realize that happened 20 years ago, but it's also something that I'm like, I don't know. This is a deep dive into Melissa's psyche. Anything that has happened within the last 20 years or so feels very strange in media to me, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think you're alone in that.
Okay. So, yes, I think that they handle it in such a way that feels very natural.
I do, too. I think they also, like, send texts, and the way they handle that is very good, because that's always tricky to do.
Yeah.
I think they handle all of it. And also the motivation of all three of them liking this podcast and then wanting to be like it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an easy, simple sell, which I love very much. The whole thing is so strong. And yeah, I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, it's great. We didn't do an ad break.
Go on our
Patreon and give us money.
Yeah, patreon.com/ADCpod. Go to Scavengers Network. Look at all their podcasts and whatnot.
Apparently you can only follow us on Twitter, which is at ADCpod.
Which is the one I run. Mwahaha, I have control over the brand.
There you go. If we ever get Facebook and Instagram back, that's how you can find us there too, at ADCpod. Yeah,
it's all the same place. Yep. It's all the same Europe. The brand is strong, as they say. And with that, I now call this meeting of the Amatoid Detective Club to a close.
Gavel sound!
Murder. Ooh.